Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So if Rick Santorum is really about to become a contender in the Republican presidential race, he will come under closer scrutiny for things like his intense history on culture war issues and his aggressive defense of earmarks as a U.S. senator. Here he is defending earmarks, including Alaska's so-called bridge to nowhere, with Fox News Channel host Megyn Kelly.
If you look at the Constitution gives the power of the purse to the Congress. And the Congress is the one that's supposed to spend the money. And so the idea that earmarks is somehow against the Constitution or something that is illicit that the congressman can or shouldn't do is just simply factually incorrect.
But people don't like them. American people don't like them.
No, I understand that. But I've said, after I've left the Congress, I've defended my earmarks in the sense that I'm proud of the money that I did set aside for things that were priorities in my state instead of having bureaucrats do that. But I've recognized that the American public have sort of seen this as a pox upon the Congress. And that's where the American public is today. And as a president, it's actually pretty easy for me to say, I'll oppose congressional earmarks. The reason it's easy for me to say is because with Congress not earmarking, that means as president, I'll be able to allocate the resources accordingly.
He'll dictate the earmarks. We'll look more closely at Santorum's three-state sweep coming up shortly. But first, that bad rap form of federal spending known as earmarks. They are back in the headlines today because of a Washington Post article about 33 members of Congress and how much their earmarks benefit their own neighborhoods or family members. And this includes at Rutgers and on Long Island and at the Jersey Shore. Washington Post correspondent David Fallis is with us. David, welcome to WNYC. David, you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I'm sure here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Thanks a lot for coming on. So you went through the records of every member of the House and Senate, all 535, in a way that their usual disclosure requirements seem to try to obscure. What did you do?
Well, as you know, they have to file the financial disclosure statements annually. And so what we did was we essentially went through those statements and then using those as a starting point, built a more full dossier of their holdings and their property that they owned and that family members owned and employees of their spouses and siblings. And then we went and looked through the record and press releases and secondary news sources and compiled a list of earmarks, most of them from the 08, 09, and 10 period, since they had to put their name next to them for those 3 years, and looked for things that sort of matched up. When I say match up, I'm talking about, Hal Rogers earmarking money for Somerset Revitalization Project in Kentucky, and then going through the public records, we realized that his house was on one of the streets that got done. I mean, the whole project was not so much I didn't feel it was trying to say that earmarks are bad. It was frankly about the lack of transparency. There is no disclosure requirement. These guys don't have to stand up and sort of say, "Yeah, I'm pushing for this." And by the way, it's the road that leads to my apartment building.
Right. You had to go through other records,
absolutely.
Other kinds of records, to make these connections.
Absolutely, and that's why it took so long, and that's why it took three of us.
So you found that 33 members of Congress, including some from New York and New Jersey, have designated $300 million in earmarks and other spending to within 2 miles of their own property or where their family members work. And we'll get into four members of our local delegation in a minute. But is the headline that out of 535 members of Congress, a small group of 33 use earmarks to benefit themselves the most directly?
I think the numbers are probably small overall. Sure, I mean it's just a fraction of the spending budget. It's a drop in the bucket, so to speak. But I also feel like our survey, we could only really practically look at 3 years because those are the 3 years with which they had to put their names next to the earmarks. We knew about earlier cases because in some instances the lawmakers would issue press releases when they did it, and some lawmakers are very very proud of their earmarks. I mean, they feel very strongly that it's their constitutional duty to bring funds back home to their district, and I get that. I understand that argument.
So among these 33 are four from our area, including Long Island Democrat Steve Israel and Hudson Valley Democrat Maurice Hinchey, New Jersey Democrat Rob Andrews, and New Jersey Republican Frank Lobiondi. And let's briefly go down this list of what you found about each of these local four. And let's start with Democratic Congressman Rob Andrews of New Jersey. It's spending with family connections, $3.3 million. And you're right, Andrews has helped secure $3.3 million over the past decade for a scholarship program at the Rutgers Law School in Camden, where his wife is an associate dean in charge of scholarships and legal programs, according to the school's website. So it is scholarships at a law school.
How big
a deal do you think this is that his wife is an associate dean in charge of scholarships?
Well, I don't mean to be cagey or evade that question. I think that's a fair question, but I think, I would let the readers be the judge of that. I think we're just trying to highlight the connections that were not readily transparent when he was securing the funding for that. And I'm not questioning the veracity of this. Like I said, I think when we tried in these cases, in all of these, to go into the local, talk to the schools, talk to the local officials. Did you support this? What did the money go to? What was exactly done? And I think by and large, these projects had local support, just like the Rutgers case. Of course it has local support. And, you can argue that it's a worthwhile cause. I think our focus is more on why not stand up and say at the time that you've got a relative working there, whether it's a vice president at a university, whether you run a specific program, why not make that connection and just to err on the side of full disclosure? One of the things that for us, the reason we pursued this is the conflict of interest laws and the ethics laws are so narrowly written, it's literally almost anything goes. And you would have to, the interpretation of these laws over the years that they've applied to themselves is that as long as you're not the only beneficiary of the action that you're taking, it's permitted. So in other words, you would almost, the ethics watchdog people would argue that you would almost have to be building a swimming pool in your own backyard for that to be a violation of the ethics rules.
So in this case, as your article states, Andrews sought an ethics opinion, and the committee concluded that his wife had no ownership interest in the law school, and the earmarks did not affect the spouse's salary.
That's right.
Now, I guess you could argue that it may have affected the spouse's salary indirectly if her employers at the school knew that she was married to a congressman who was earmarking things for that program. That obviously makes her a more valuable employee.
That one, that's sort of like the Sheila Jackson Lee example out of Houston. I mean, her husband is a senior vice president at both the university, and he had a dual chancellorship title. And, he's making $210,000 a year there, and there's no dispute that he's a senior administrative official, and she's earmarked money to the school consistently. She discloses that he works at the university, but the piece that doesn't get disclosed is that when she puts out the press releases or stands up in Congress and requests the funds, she doesn't say, and by the way, this is the other half of the household salary.
Let's take another example, and my guest is Washington Post correspondent David Fallis. If you're just joining us, he was one of three reporters on a big investigation of congressional earmarks that was just published this week, and how a group of 33 members of Congress have earmarked lots of money for things within 2 miles of their own property or affecting their own family members. So four of those are in our area. Another one is Democratic Congressman Steve Israel of Long Island. And you write, in 2008, Israel earmarked $490,000 to study a bypass road to ease congestion along a busy commercial corridor that borders the congressman's neighborhood in Dix Hills. The project has stalled, and the money has yet to be spent.
Yeah.
His office says, this transportation hub has occupied the discourse at the town, county, state, and federal level for years. So, again, how big a deal is this? Why did you include it in your list if the money hasn't even been spent?
Well, we included it because in theory, it will be spent. These things can take quite a few years to play out. Benny Thompson, down in... He was in Mississippi. you know, he got funding that in 2005, and it wasn't until 2010 that they paved the road in front of his house. These things move like molasses. In fact, it's not uncommon for the local officials to complain, you know, hey, my congressman got this earmark. Why haven't we got the money to go ahead and put the asphalt down? So we included that because it was in the proximity. There was an alignment of interest. We're not saying he's financially benefiting, but it will, at least in theory, at some point will improve the neighborhood there. I think in that particular case, like most of the road cases, people supported it. You know, I think most of these found some level of local support. Mm-hmm. Again, the focus for us is on the lack of transparency, the lack of needing to sort of stand up and say, and by the way, I'm benefiting, the, maybe not financially or maybe not today, but, you know, this is in my backyard. And
right.
That's what we didn't see. I mean, I'm talking, you know, scores and scores and scores of press releases and press statements made over many years. Not once did you see, at least I didn't, I guess in theory we could have missed some, but I never found anyone where somebody said, yes, and this is, you know, in my backyard. Senator Shelby in Alabama, prime example of that. Hugely popular appropriator with the locals, and you know he's pumped more than $100 million into redoing the downtown area. And if you looked at the online presentation and the map, his building is in the footprint of the revitalization.
Yeah.
And phase two, they're going to be doing the streets around his building. Doesn't touch his property. His staff are adamant that he hasn't benefited financially in the slightest, and it's all completely legal. It's 100% ethically permitted.
Let's go very briefly down the other two from our area and then wrap it up on what this means in terms of how the public should think about earmarks. Democratic Congressman Maurice Hinchey of the Hudson Valley in Saugerties. Hinchey, in 2005, you're right, earmarked $960,000 to upgrade downtown streets. He secured $800,000 in 2009 to overhaul sewer lines.
That's right.
He is a partner in a hotel development in the heart of the village and values his interest at $250,000 to $500,000. Hinchey's spokesman said the congressman has a less than 1% stake in the project, and it is several blocks from the crosswalks and does not connect to the sewer lines set to be repaired. There is conflict of interest.
Yeah, that was my case, and that's exactly what they told me on many occasions. I would just point out that they also put out a press release saying that the projects were going to help the economy in the downtown area, and that's why I felt like we should include it. I'm not saying that he's profiting personally from it. You know, his press person was very nice, very helpful, adamant that the hotel development will not tie into the sewer lines. But, you know, it's going to help downtown overall, I would say. Maybe it doesn't directly, involve him financially. I don't know what else to say. It's a few blocks from his development. The project sounds like a valid project.
And the last one is from the Jersey Shore, Republican Congressman Frank Lobiondo. And you're right, since 2008, Lobiondo has helped secure $4.68 million for beach monitoring and nourishment along the shores of Ventnor City, where he and his wife own a home about 850 feet from the beach. Lobiondo's spokesman said the congressman earmarked funds for work on that beach years before moving there and has secured greater amounts of funding for other beaches along the Jersey Shore.
That's right.
Quote, without consideration of the financial impact to himself.
That's right. That's right. I handled that case personally as well. And they, you know, he pointed out, he said, look, he pushed for money for that beach before he moved there. He moved there because of his wife's job in 2005. But again, in his requests, he, you know, never made mention of the home and proximity to the money that he was securing. I think that the overall point of this entire endeavor was to shine a light in an area where we really felt like there's a lack of transparency and that the ethics laws, maybe all these cases are 100% fine, and they may be, but the ethics laws, even if the way the ethics laws are written, it wouldn't touch any of these cases because in every one of these, there's a broader class of people that are benefiting, even if literally the road is redoing the driveway apron in front of your house. Arguably, that's a public easement. That's a public right-of-way. It's fixing the road. Other people use the road. You're not the sole beneficiary, so there's no ethical issue.
We're going to wrap this up after one phone call and go on to Lisa Lehrer, no relation, from Bloomberg News, who's reporting on Rick Santorum's victories last night. So we'll get right to her. But I want to take a phone call on this whole earmarks business from James in Manhattan, who's listening to all this. James, you're on WNYC. Thanks for calling.
How are you?
Okay.
Yes, if you want to understand the Tea Party phenomenon, the whole movement of conservatives in the last 50 years against government expansion into our lives, you have to understand earmarks, Bridges to Nowhere, Solyndra, agricultural price supports, commodity price supports, all the defense spending irrationalities that we hear about. This is what underlies the anti-government spending craze. It's against waste and inefficiency and corruption. It's not against the idea of transferring a little bit of wealth from those of us who are well off or better off relatively to help poor people or disabled people. That's not what anti-government frenzy is about. It's about all of this waste and corruption that comes about almost seemingly irrelevant from good intentions. I mean, this is, you're talking about a lot of congressional representatives who spent their whole lives trying to use government to help people, and yet they themselves are involved in creating the dynamics that sort of feed the anti-government movement.
Yeah,
in America.
I think that's very well put.
I would just jump in here and just point out this was across the board, D's and R's pretty much evenly represented.
And there is now apparently on the heels of your series a new push in Congress by a small bipartisan group of senators to ban all earmarks.
Permanently. They've had a moratorium. There's a huge reluctance to make that thing permanent. It doesn't have much support, and largely because people, some representatives, and I understand this, like I said, feel it's constitutionally that's their job.
And this will come up and up with Santorum if he continues to be serious in this race. With the Bridge to Nowhere and being aggressive and defending being aggressive and getting earmarks for Pennsylvania when he was a senator from there.
You're right.
But we'll continue to follow that. So David Fallas, Washington Post correspondent, one of the three on this earmarks investigation. Thank you so much for coming on and talking about it with us.
I've enjoyed it. You guys have a good day.
You too. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Lisa Lehrer from Bloomberg News next. And we'll play the essential clips from Santorum's victory speech last night. This was his big moment in the free media sunlight. And we'll see if he made the most of it. Stay with us.